Is it on now?
Yes, it is. All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Exposition Line Expo Metro Construction Authority. Today is Thursday, December 3rd. I am joined today by my colleagues, Director Sheila Kuehl, Director David Riccatello. That's a tough one to remember. I always get the vowels in the wrong place. And our new director, getting Mr. Paul Koretz, is Jay Greenstein, FCD5. We'll be joined in a bit by Megan Sally Wells. Let us begin. The first item we have before us, item number three, is the approval of the September 3rd, 2015 minutes. Moved and seconded without objection. Those items are approved. Next is public comment. Do we have any speaker cards? All right, no public comment. That brings us to the consent calendar. I'm going to remove from the consent calendar 5B until Ms. Sally Wells gets here, because we're going to need her to get a vote on that since I have a conflict. So for the consent calendar, we'll be doing items 5A, 5C, and 5D.
So move.
Moved and seconded without objection. Item 6, there are no general board actions, which brings us to item 7, which is the general board receive and file items, phase 1, phase 2 project updates.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have our Director of Engineering Construction here with us, Bill Reagan. He'll give the presentation. Eric was not able to make the meeting today.
Good afternoon, Chair, and Board of Directors. We'll quickly go through the slides, kind of updating with the project status. On Expo Phase 1, we are continuing to maintain the 30,000 weekly riders. It's been pretty stable at that number. As well, we're trying to finish a close out with Metro and the City of LA. Moving on to Phase 2, we have some photos, some of the activity. This is some of the landscape work near the Westwood Rancho Park Station. This is the plaza area at the Sepulveda Station. Station equipment. This is the maintenance and operations facility. For those of you familiar, the strip of land kind of to the left of that building for the buffer park area, and then the rest of the facility is for the main building of the maintenance, and then the yard is over there behind it to the right. Here's a completed segment of the bikeway that's being built along with the project. This happens to be along Olympic near the Bergamot Station. And we have a picture of the string lights in downtown Santa Monica Station. Well, the station is to the right of this area. This is looking east along Colorado Avenue. And here's a picture of the train. Actually, we're doing some testing. This happens to be at the 5th Street intersection with Colorado. And updating you with some of the specific things that are going on as far as construction. Most of the construction is complete. We are nearly complete with all the testing for train control, signals, crossing equipment, as well as working on the stations. They're just about near completion with the final items there with signage and railing and lighting. Roadway improvements in and around the project are near completion and undergoing final inspections with the appropriate agency. Landscape irrigation and planting are ongoing and nearly complete as well. We've developed almost all the punch lists for all the work being completed. Colorado Avenue, we have a little bit of activity going on there. We're trying to address some of the, as the trains have been running out there on Colorado, down the street, been encountering a lot of pedestrian activity that we need to address and make sure we're channelizing and keeping them safe. So working with Santa Monica and Metro, we are developing a plan to enhance some of the safety items by painting the curb, as shown here in this slide, to highlight the curb, delineating the railroad right-of-way, enhancing some of the striping and street signage for vehicles and pedestrians. The last item we've been working very closely with the city and Metro on is developing a plan to put a fence down the center of Colorado Avenue to kind of discourage the people's need to cross and jaywalk through the right-of-way. Santa Monica City Council is taking an action item, I believe, on the 15th.
And for the record, let me just note at this time that we have been joined by Director Graeme Davis from Santa Monica.
Who's sitting in the wrong seat. But <That's
right. laughs> Moving on to the operations and maintenance facility. As the earlier slide showed you, the main building is nearing completion. The train control systems testing are ongoing. And demolition of the old facility has been nearly completed. Clear way for the buffer park area. Bikeway contract, as you saw, is nearly complete when we're going through final inspections with the appropriate cities. Moving on to completion issues. The Sentinella MSC wall settlement grouting is complete. We will continue to monitor, but it's showing a very positive reaction. Ground seems to have stabilized. We're seeing almost no addition the last 3 or 4 weeks. On November 25th, Expo Authority submitted a request to Metro for turnover of the mainline guideway so they could begin their pre-revenue operations work. Anticipated to begin the week of December 14th. Also planning to submit a request to turn over the operations and maintenance facility the week of December 21st. Trying to work through with Metro on some final items to have the facility taken over by early January. And we are with those two milestones, we're still working towards a revenue operations target date of April, late April or early May of 2016. Our contractor and subcontractors have employed 308 small businesses, 218 of which were local. This continues to be a successful program. Over $152 million has been committed to SBE. Showing the percentages, we've achieved or exceeded the 20% goal for SBE with a 22% attained of a 26.1% committed. Well, the local SBE goal of 7%, we've exceeded with 11.56% of the 13.9 committed. Local jobs program update. Today we've had 49.1% worker hours, local worker hours total of the project. That's a compared to the 30% goals that we had set for ourselves. That's another positive impact of the project. At this point, any questions on any of the
colleagues? Any questions? Yeah, either now or under CEO comments, either one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is a good time to ask.
The revenue date is April, May, that time frame. So I assume there's a process laid out for how the Expo Authority actually closes it down. Everything gets transferred. Do you have a checklist or a process that we can look at as to how that's going to play itself out?
Yeah, I'll explain a little bit in closed session about the contractual closeout issues. And then as far as closing down the construction authority, we have started we pretty much put together a draft. That entails, you know, how we're going to deal with vehicles, computers, all of that, the lease itself with the building that we're in, the staffing itself.
Well, your files are public files, correct? All the files that you have, working files?
Right, yeah, and the requirements to store all our files and where we're going to put those.
Is Metro going to take possession of the files, or are they going to go into storage somewhere?
Yeah, they will find a place to store them, and then we'll turn all of that over to Metro.
Do you have an outline of how this is all going to play out?
We're starting one, yeah. It still will be quite some time before the actual... before we'll be able to complete all the contracts, because we have an obligation not to turn over any future financial obligations to Metro. So we've got to make sure, we anticipate probably, almost about this time next year before we'll actually be fully closed down.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder, I think the board would appreciate having a kind of a grid or a matrix at each of our meetings to understand what elements associated with closing down or terminating have been accomplished, are being accomplished, are expected to be accomplished, if there's a date, et cetera. Because you gave us a couple of dates in December for things that would be turned over to Metro or that Metro would assume or some transfer. I think it'd be good for us to know each month what happened in the past month and what we imagine will, I mean, it's going to be the same, hopefully, or maybe some of the dates. But I think it'd be good for this board to be really aware of all of them and not just, you know, you show us three on a presentation and then you tell us three more and that kind of thing. It'd be good to have an organized grid so we understand exactly what's going to Metro when.
Happy to do that starting at the next meeting.
Great. Director Davis?
Well, that actually leads to a question I had. Is at some point during that process, is there, for lack of a better term, a debriefing or something about what worked and what didn't work? Because, for example, and it just jumped out at me, you know, the gender breakdown of workers on this project is 97.9% men and 2.1% female. And, you know, we have a lot of building going forward, hopefully even more in the future. And it would be nice if someone could analyze why that number for females is so miserably low so we can try and correct it on future projects. I'm just wondering if there's a debriefing. I mean, I know we all try and learn, but obviously this group of administrators is not going to be working on future projects. And so I'm just curious how we pass along that learning for future Metro projects.
Yeah, usually we put together a lessons learned. And this one, there's a lot of positive things versus our lessons learned on the last project. But as a result of the last project, we did learn a lot of things that were implemented on this project that were successful. I think that's probably a good idea that we could put together a lessons learned package that could be distributed here, but more importantly, sent to Metro for our future projects.
Well, and if you do that, I'd specifically like to address the issue of gender breakdown, because I think while we can pat ourselves on the back for doing a lot of small business employment and certainly looking at race ethnicity breakdowns better than in phase one, let's put it that way, but the gender distribution still miserably low, and I figure there's got to be some positive action we can take to improve that.
Cool.
Well, Metro has never met its goal for female workers in any contract, and the goal is like 2.7%. And it's, you know, we've asked Mr. Washington and his predecessor on an ongoing basis, but the question of why it's more sort of more difficult as it goes to what is Metro doing in its recruitment, what is it doing in its training at college contracts, et cetera. But the other thing I think about the debriefing that obviously interests me, not obviously, but I'll tell you, interests me probably the most. There was an assumption when I brought my bill to create this authority that we would do better than Metro at building the Expo line. That's the reason why there was a separate authority. Otherwise, Metro would do it. I don't know if there's a way to look at projects, because it would be very instructive for those of us who are on the Metro board as well, and an ongoing basis after Expo shut down, to see if there were any advantages to having a separate authority, because we'll be building for the next 80 years or more, and it would be good to know if, you know, we want to say to Senator Smith, this separate authority notion really worked well. You know, we were quicker than usual, we were under budget, we were more streamlined. I don't know. Or perhaps it would help us learn, didn't make a bit of difference. Metro's doing a great job and they screw up. We're doing a great job and we screwed up, you know, something. But that's, I don't even know if there's a way to approach that for me to understand, was this a good idea to have a separate authority? Did it add value? And if there's a way to begin to understand that in the debriefing, that would help as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Rick. What do you think?
Just from my own perspective, I've now led two of the construction authorities
right.
at different times, and I do believe there are some definite advantages to it. But there are some other things, and so there's pros and cons. And
well, I think it would be really good for us not to necessarily create a great, you know, news story by being too honest, but still, it would be good for us to understand, because going forward, we're going to see this again and again, I think. We're planning something, we're planning public-private partnerships potentially in the future, whether creating a separate authority to work with them is better. I mean, obviously we have responsibility to the Metro Board as well, but it'd be good to know.
We've also been joined by Director Sally Wells. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent idea, and it speaks to the importance of accountability as well, which is obviously important to all of us. I just a rapid reaction to this proposal. As a smaller city, Culver City, which probably will not get a seat on the Metro Board, having direct representation on such important infrastructure and facilities in our own city is one of, at least for Culver City, one of the primary benefits of this model. But having said that, I'd love to be able to look at it beyond that one point as well. And so thank you for creating this authority.
Thank you. Anybody else? Colleagues? Okay. Receive and file that. Item 7. Let's hop back to item 5B, which was on the consent calendar. We have enough members here now to approve that item. Is there a motion to approve?
No. Second.
Moved and seconded without objection. That's the committee. That brings us to item number 8, which is the CEO's comments.
Well, just a few seconds of your time to... we are at a crossroads, so to speak, for this project. It's been a long time coming. We are, by the next meeting, I fully expect to have both the maintenance facility as well as the main line handed over to Metro for their operations, and then we move into what I call the closeout phase. And the closeout phase can be very extensive. It has a lot to do with all the contractual issues that we need to deal with, resolve with the various contractors. But this one is also unique because we will
be closing down the authority at the same time. So it's certainly been exciting to get to this point where we are, and we look forward to seeing the public out riding those trains here in the near future.
Questions to the CEO? Okay, that brings us to item number 9, board member comments. Okay.
Speaking to Councilmember Koretz, there's only one issue that I'd like me to make mention of. Interestingly, the one of the issues that we've received complaints about in recent months is the lighting around the project. And we've been working with Expo Construction Authority staff and in some cases with our City Bureau of Street Lighting to address street lighting issues. Three different categories, I would say, we want to make sure the council member wants me to mention that we want to continue to work with you to see what we can do to address those concerns. They're really light glare issues where new lights have been installed. Some of them are overhead above the light rail line. In particular, they affect residential properties on Dunlear Place, east of Overland Avenue. We also have some homes that are adjacent to the Kiss and Ride at Westwood Boulevard and a few homes that are adjacent to the intersection of military and exposition. So we want to make sure that we continue to do everything we can to address those concerns. In some of those cases, the Bureau of Street Lighting has recommended some shields for the lighting. Whatever we can do to help those residents, their quality of life is being impacted. We understand the need for protecting public safety and providing those lights, but whatever we can do to shield those as best we can. Thank you.
Okay, sure. We have, just for your information, have directed the contractor to purchase those shields, and it's a matter of the manufacturing time and the ability to get them solved.
Great. Thank you.
I have a follow-up question about it, and I wondered, maybe I would ask Colleen as well. Santa Monica has experimented with being a clear skies city by shielding the upward glare of its lights generally, public lights, and I think maybe even require that of people getting permits for properties.
Yeah, we do.
Did we have to do that too as an authority?
I don't think so. I think Expo is exempt, but certainly if that issue has arisen in West Los Angeles, my guess is, since we do have some portions of the right of way that do come fairly close to homeowners and renters, that.
Right, I think for homeowners, but we also had, as I thought we had instituted something so ambient light wasn't directed upward.
Yes, we have a dark skies ordinance
so
that requires.
We see Orion last night, for instance. Good.
Right. Yeah, we have a dark skies ordinance which requires that any new light installations. I just don't know that it applies to another governmental agency.
Probably doesn't apply. I don't know whether we have paid any attention. Because it's going to be pretty bright all along. Well, only at the station.
Right, but we do have a large apartment complex that backs up right onto part of the right-of-way, and then near the maintenance yard, we obviously have some both apartments and single-family.
They're like a foot away at Pico and Gateway.
Right, right. So you may want to anticipate that complaint in advance when the lights are...
Director Greenstein has indicated, we have received some complaints in specific areas, and as we do, we will address those, as well as noise issues when we start running trains quite a bit.
Actually, well.
So I take Expo Line all the time, and I usually ride my bike to Expo. And there are some little signs on the bike racks on the Culver City Expo Station warning folks. The stickers were put there by a well-meaning bicyclist saying that there had been a lot of thefts at night of bikes. And last last night as I was coming to downtown LA and I was leaving my bike, I hesitated and I had to make the calculation. Is it better to park it at LA Live or is it better to park it at the Culver City station? The one improvement is that there's that nest, elevated nest of a sheriff's mobile office that's up above. I don't know what it's called, but it's an interesting configuration. And I'm curious whether those thefts have gone down since the installation of that. Is that going to remain or is it temporary? And since there are cameras all over the station, how are the use of those cameras actually helping retrieve bikes, or is it just a witness, something that's witnessing that theft and nothing comes of it? So is that operated by Metro? Is it operated by the Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, I noticed that the elevated, it's kind of like a scissor accordion thing mm-hmm. for the Sheriff's use. I just noticed that the other day myself. Yes, that's all Metro, but I'll be happy to ask Metro if they have any evaluation that they've done before, after, as far as bike theft goes. And anybody that is reporting theft, we can get back to you.
Thank you. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, no further comments there. That concludes the balance of our open session agenda. We have some closed session items. Do we have anything to state before we go into closed session?
Yes, there are three items on the closed session. First, there's conference with legal counsel for anticipated litigation. Significant exposure to litigation, government code section 549.56.9, subdivision matters. Second, public employee performance evaluation. Employment or government code section 54957B, title chief executive officer, and third, conference with labor negotiators, government code section 54957.6, the agency designated representative, general counsel, unrepresented employee, chief executive officer.
Great. Okay, so with that, we will recess into closed session, and we will have to come back. I would again afterwards to formally adjourn. Is that
correct?
Okay. Thank you.